we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in thy sight. We would say to thee this morning, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, and in speaking to my heart, speak to all who are gathered, and will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. For the past two Lord's days, we have been examining the mystery of the new birth. We discovered from the Word of God that this miracle happens to every believer. We can't explain it. We don't fully understand it, but we believe it. We believe the truth of regeneration. Now today I want to talk about three births. A natural birth, a supernatural birth, or the new birth, and an unnatural birth. When a person rejects the supernatural birth, there is a danger of experiencing an unnatural birth, born not from above, but from beneath. So let us begin with a natural birth. We turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, where we read, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation." That word conversation is manner of life. "In time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." These verses describe our first birth, our natural birth. Concerning our natural birth, I had no decision in the matter. I wasn't given a card to ask whether I wanted to be born, yes or no. I wasn't given the choice of a family. I wasn't given the choice of the color of my hair, the color of my eyes, or anything else. I was born naturally, and so were you. Here I was. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, it not only tells me that I was here, but it also tells me not only where I was, but what I was. And you'll notice that it tells me something about my nature. I was a child of wrath. And it tells me something about my activity, my choice. I was a child of disobedience. And this is true of everyone who is born naturally. Now, when I was born naturally, I was born spiritually dead. I wasn't sick. I was dead. That's what the Word of God teaches. Now, when our Lord was here on earth, I'm sure that he raised more from physical death to physical life than we have a record of in the New Testament. However, we have a record of three. There was a boy who was dead about a day, for the Jews bury in the same day, Luke chapter 7. And our Lord stopped the procession to the cemetery, and he raised the boy to life. Then in Luke chapter 8, there was a little girl who had just died. She was 12 years of age, the daughter of Jairus. And of course, our Lord raised her to life. And then when you get over to John chapter 10 or chapter 11, you have Lazarus, who was dead 4 days, an older man. He was dead 4 days, and our Lord raised him to life. Now my question is, which one of the three was the deadest? You see, we smile at that. Which one was the deadest? They were alike dead. If you're dead, you're dead. But what was the difference between the little girl and Lazarus and the boy? I'll tell you, the state of decay. That's what made the difference. They were all in different stages of decay. When we look out over people who've had a natural birth, We can look at the man in the gutter and what a state of decay he is. On the other hand, we can look at the person who's living in the ritzy part of town. And we can watch them as they walk their poodle or another dog as they go down the street. And what's the difference? The only difference between the man in the gutter and the person who's living over there on Sunset Boulevard is a state of decay. We can look at them with all their refinery and we can say how wonderfully they're embalmed. They're dead in trespasses and in sins by nature. Now, the state of decay is not as serious in some as it is in others as we look at it. But if you're dead, you're dead. Some are just more beautifully embalmed than others. Now, you and I, when we were born the first time, we were not only born spiritually dead, we were born spiritually disobedient. In this passage that we read, I learned that I was dominated by three things. I was in bondage, number one, to the world. You notice that. In verse 2, we walked according to the course of this world. Then second, the devil had his domineering effect in my life. I walked according to the prince of the power of the air. I was in bondage to Satan. And then there's the flesh. In verse 3 it says, we fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. In other words, I was dominated by the world, I was dominated by the devil, and I was dominated by the flesh. And beside that, I was selfish. Selfish by nature. Our egos were inflated while we turned the world into a cemetery. We were slaves, friends, to the world, we were slaves to the flesh, and we were slaves to the devil. Now this is a state of every man who is born naturally. You were born dead. You were born disobedient. And it doesn't matter if you're educated or ignorant, or whether you're rich or poor, whether you are moral or immoral. As far as God is concerned, spiritually, you were born dead. All who have never been born from above are in this condition that we read about in Ephesians chapter 2, our natural birth. I'm glad there's another birth. And the Word of God speaks of it as a supernatural birth. God did something about my condition. I'd like you to turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5. God did something about my condition. Now, the first epistle of John is a family letter. How do I know? Well, the Father is spoken of 12 times. The word brother appears 17 times. Little children appears 9 times. And the expression, born of God, appears 7 times. Now, there are two great themes in the first epistle of John. The first two chapters deal with the subject of fellowship. The last three chapters deal with the subject of sonship. In the first two chapters, we have the great subject, God is light. And if we're going to fellowship with Him, we have to walk in the light. In the last three chapters, we read, God is love. This is sonship. Now the transition verse is chapter 2 and verse 29, where we read, if we know that He is righteous, we know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. So the transition in this from dealing with sonship, with fellowship to sonship is doing righteousness. Now, chapter 5 verse 1, we read of the supernatural birth. It reads, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now here we have the glorious truth of a supernatural birth. We have been born of God. Now we ask the question today, how does a supernatural birth become a reality to us? How does a supernatural birth become a reality to us? And the first epistle of John chapter 5 tells us. Notice verse 9. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In Ephesians we noted that in my natural birth I was born dead. But here in 1 John, I learned that in my supernatural birth, I am born alive. I'm born alive. I have spiritual life in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now we talked about those three in the record that our Lord raised from the dead. How did our Lord raise a little boy from the dead? He spoke. How did our Lord raise the little girl from the dead? He spoke. How did our Lord raise Lazarus from the dead? He shouted. Lazarus, come forth. I like what the old Puritan said. He said, as good he said Lazarus, or he would have emptied every cemetery in the world. They all would have come forth. And that's true. Now what does the Word of God say? It says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. How do we become born alive? By hearing the word. The hearing ear and the seeing eye. The Lord is the maker of them both. By hearing the word of God and believing the message of God. And life, supernatural life, is a reality to us. How does it become a reality? By believing. Our Lord, or should I say, the Philippian jailer cried out to Paul and Barnabas, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, when I was born the first time, my natural birth, I was born disobedient. I was born a slave in bondage to the world, to the flesh, and to the devil. Look at chapter 5 of John in verse 4. In chapter 5, verse 4, it speaks of our supernatural birth. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, there's victory over the world. My supernatural birth gives me victory over the world. I do not have to walk according to the desires of this world. Look back at chapter 2 of John, 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 15, we read, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let me ask you a question. What is worldliness? If I want victory over the world, and that my supernatural birth gives it to me, I have to ask myself the question, what is worldliness? Well, there are two things I learned from reading 1 John chapter 2 in those verses. I read of the love of the Father, and I read of the will of the Father. Two things that are very important there. You see, worldliness is not external. It is internals which are built upon the eternals. A supernatural relationship with Jesus Christ. What is worldliness? Worldliness, friend, is anything that robs me of the Father's love or doing the Father's will, even though anybody else says it's right. Let me quote that again. Worldliness is anything that robs me of my Father's love or being obedient to my Father's will, regardless of what anybody says that it's right to do otherwise. That's worldliness. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. First John chapter 5, verse 4, where we have this thought of victory over the world. It says in verse 4, whosoever is born of God, that's a supernatural birth, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now look back at 1 John 3, verse 9. Here's victory over the flesh. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not practice sin. That's the meaning of the Greek word there. He does not practice sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Here's that supernatural birth. It overcomes the flesh. You see, I have a divine nature within. And if we abide in him and his word abides in us, you will not habitually sin. Why? Why? Because nature determines appetite. Oh, when I was supernaturally born of God, I had an appetite for the word of God. An appetite that has never stopped. I've never been able to satisfy it. And the Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, that newborn babies, is talking about spiritual babies, they desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. Now, people that our Lord raised from the dead, in Luke 7, Luke 8, and in John chapter 11, they gave evidence that they were alive. They didn't put a sign and hang it around their neck that said, I am alive. You know, that's what we do. You know, I am a Methodist. That's supposed to make you alive. I am a Baptist. That's supposed to make you alive. They didn't have to do that. You see, they didn't have to do that. I'm so afraid today, friends, that the church has a lot of corpses in it, and they're dead. They have to be propped up and they have to be made to look religious. The problem is they have no life. No supernatural life. When Jesus raised that little girl to life in Luke chapter 8, he said, give her something to eat. Nature determines appetite. Friends, when we're supernaturally born of God, there's an appetite for the Word of God. The little boy, when our Lord stopped the funeral procession and he raised him to life, what did the little boy do? Boy, if Time magazine would have been around at that time, they would have wanted to record his first words. He spoke. You see, before I was supernaturally born of God in conviction, my mouth was shut. Romans 3:19 says, we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, And all the world may become guilty before God. In conviction, my mouth was shut. But I'll tell you something. When the new nature came in, and I was supernaturally born of God, in conversion, my mouth is opened. The little boy, he gave evidence that he was alive. Lazarus. What evidence did he give in John 11? Our Lord said, loose him and let him go. Get those grave clothes of the world off of him. They smell. Oh, there's another thing. By my natural birth, I was in bondage to the world. I was in bondage to the flesh. I was in bondage to the devil. When I was supernaturally born, I was born alive with the victory over the world, with victory over the flesh, and thanks be unto God, with victory over the devil. Look at chapter 5 and verse 17. John chapter 5, verse 17. I really want verse 18. I'm sorry. Verse 18. We know that whatsoever is born, or whosoever is born of God, sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God, keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Victory over Satan. I was in bondage before. My natural birth, I was born dead, and I was born in bondage. My supernatural birth, I'm born alive, and I'm born in liberty. Victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. And you see, I was selfish by nature. By nature, I was a selfish fellow in the world. And all men are, by the way. And I'll prove it to you. Oh, you say, I know a lot of worldly people. They give a lot of money to great philanthropic causes. Yes, but who gets the glory for it? They do. They do. They don't glorify God. They glorify themselves. And that's what the great indictment of God is upon man in Romans chapter 1. They worship the creature rather than the creator. Who, when they know God, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Selfish by nature, but now there's something else. Notice chapter verse 7 of chapter 4. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. Now what we do as the children of God by a supernatural birth, we do it out of love. Not for selfish reasons, but to give glory to Him. You see, there's a natural birth. As I was born naturally, I was a loser. I was spiritually dead. And as a supernatural birth, I'm a winner. I was born alive. But you know, there's another birth. It's an unnatural birth. Just friends, as there's a birth from above, there is a birth from below. It is possible to be born again satanically. They are called children of the devil. I want you to turn back to chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 John chapter 3 verse 10 it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now I have heard, and I'm sure you have in your lifetime, that there are two classes of people. Children of God and children of the devil. But I believe that there are three classes of people. I believe the Word of God teaches that there are children of God. They have a supernatural birth. I believe there are people that are children of Adam who've only had a natural birth. And I believe there are people who've had an unnatural birth. They are children of the devil. Now, Jesus, in his life on earth, he never called prostitutes and tax gatherers or publicans children of the devil. But there's one group of people that he repeatedly called the children of the devil. Religious people. Hypocrites. Children of the devil. In Matthew 13, in the midst of the seven parables, there is a parable of the wheat and the tares. Now, in our Lord's explanation of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13, the good seed, the wheat, are the children of God. The tares, or the weeds, are the children of the wicked one. That's what it says. While men slept, the enemy sowed tares in the field. Whenever God sows true children in the field is the world, the devil sows a counterfeit. The devil sows a counterfeit. Now, we see this in the lives of people in the New Testament. John the Baptist came on the scene preaching repentance. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And multitudes came. And they manifested a repentant spirit by being baptized in the Jordan River. But then the Pharisees came. And when the Pharisees came to be baptized of John, what did John say? You generation of snakes, of vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath to come? He called them a generation of vipers. Now, John was different than we are today. Why, if we had a delegation from the Pharisees in our meetings today, we'd say, well, it's so nice to have a visitation from the Sanhedrin. I think I'll call on the chairman of the group to come and lead us in prayer. That's what we do today. But that's not what John the Baptist did. Why not? You see, John was different. He was a servant of God. He had an axe in his hand. And he said that the axe deals with the root of the tree. He wasn't interested in lopping off branches up on the top, just changing the outward appearance a little bit. That wasn't John. John dealt with the root of the problem. And he said, you're a snake. You generation of vipers. Now, who's the snake in the Bible? The snake in the Bible is that old serpent, the devil. And you see, John said they were children of the devil. Our Lord in his ministry in John 8. When you get over to John chapter 8, and they were accusing him of all sorts of wickedness, our Lord said, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of him you will do. Who's the first child of the devil in the Bible? Cain. We read about it in 1 John 3 verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, Cain was a murderer, and then he lied about it. Am I my brother's keeper? Our Lord said to the religious leaders of the day, of his day, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of him will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who murdered the Lord? The religious crowd. That's who murdered the Son of God. Now Cain was the first child of the devil. The worst child of the devil is Judas. Judas was the treasurer of the disciples. Judas was never born from above. Jesus said of Judas Iscariot in John 13 verse 18, I have chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Until the very end, the disciples never detected that Judas was a traitor. And our Lord never gave a hint that he was until that night. Recorded in John 13, our Lord gave him the bread, and Judas took it. And when he took it, John adds these words, he went out, and it was night. And it's been night forever for Judas since that moment. He went out, and it was night. You see, Judas was not born out of darkness into light. Judas was born out of light into darkness. Judas heard the best sermons. Judas listened to the best preacher there ever was. Judas saw the most mighty works that it's possible to see. The miracles of our Lord. Friends, if this could happen to someone under the ministry of the greatest preacher, our Lord Jesus, what could happen under my ministry? What could happen under mine? Now the Lord said in the parable of the wheat and the tares are the children of the wicked one. He says, you let them grow together till the kingdom. Don't you go trying to root up who you think is a tare. If the disciples couldn't tell who that Judas was a traitor, you and I should not have that file card mentality. You see, the harvest is not the end of the meeting. The harvest is the end of the age. And I believe, friends, and I say this with a trembling heart, I'm afraid when we get to the real harvest, we're going to find that a lot that we harvested at the end of the meeting were weeds. They weren't genuine at all. Friends, it's an awesome thing to know the truth and to reject it. It's an awesome thing to see the power of the world to come and to reject it. There's a counterfeit gospel, friends. We read about it in Galatians chapter 1. There are counterfeit preachers. We read about them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There's a counterfeit righteousness. We read about it in Romans chapter 10. And there's a counterfeit Christ who's going to come on the scene, and when he comes, the world will take him in. He is called in Scripture the Antichrist. Oh, there's an unnatural birth. I met two in my life that I believe were definitely born again satanically. I visited both on their deathbeds. One was my brother-in-law. And I had his funeral. He said, there's no use talking to me. He said, I told the Lord I didn't want to have anything to do with him. The other was a man from whom Nora Patterson in St. Croix rented her apartment in the basement. We went deep sea fishing together. When he was dying in the hospital in San Juan in Puerto Rico, I visited him. Bobby Layton visited with him. Mrs. Patterson bore testimony to him, but he said, there's no hope for me at all. Judas went out, and it was night. To be satisfied with religion, and not have a life is a dreadful thing. Four things in closing. Number one, there is a natural birth, and all of us have experienced it, even though you don't remember it. And you prove that you experience it, well, most people do, by celebrating it once a year. The friends are the supernatural birth. And that supernatural birth reverses all those awful effects of the natural birth. Instead of being born dead, I'm born alive. Instead of being born in bondage to the world, the flesh, and the devil, I'm born in liberty, with liberty over the world, liberty over the flesh, liberty over the devil. But third, there is an unnatural birth. Oh, may God forbid that any would so reject the truth that Satan would enter and they would go out and it's night. Therefore, one question. Have you been born from above? If not, may I be a help to you today? Let's just pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this supernatural birth which delivers us from bondage, from disobedience, and we ask you, O God, to so work in our lives and to so speak to our hearts and search us this morning that we'll be certain that we are born of God. Oh, may no one from this assembly just be a religious person propped up to make look alive when in reality they're spiritually dead. Deliver us, O God, from playing religion. May the new birth be a reality. Like the little girl, may we eat and have a voracious appetite for your word. May we speak and give words of praise to thee. And like Lazarus of old, may the grave clothes drop off and may we show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into light. For Jesus' sake, amen.